Good night. So it's 2 o'clock.
Reached the 2 o'clock moment.
We've reached that hour, the witching hour of 2 o'clock.
Of two of the clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, John.
Hmm.
It's now that time.
It is 2 o'clock in the fall.
On an October morning.
We're having a traditional afternoon. It's a traditional October morning. It's not warm.
No.
No. And the leaves are now colorful. It's colorful and traditional. In a traditionally colorful sort of way.
Yeah, and we're keeping ourselves warm with some fine crafted beer.
Oh yeah, delightful.
Delightful. Welcome to the Darker Side Podcast, where we delve into the darker side of our existences. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair games as we discuss murder, UFOs, cryptids, creepypasta, the paranormal, and the dark depravity of the human soul. I am David, and with me today is Herman.
Hey, what's going on? We haven't talked a lot about any pasta lately. There's been very little pasta in
Yeah,
our
very
experience.
Little pasta. Sorry about that, guys. We've been... You know,
we'll have to get Pastafari in next time.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get some pasta ready for you. But we coming to you on this fine October morning.
Afternoon.
Afternoonish. It was a morning at
there,
one point.
There was once a morning, yes.
And it's turned into a fine October afternoon. All right, we're going to get into our news stories today, guys. I've got a crazy news story for you. This one is called Chainsaw Wielding Dad Run Over by lawnmower while trying to kill son. Yeah, seriously. And this comes to us from the Associated Press.
Tell us more about the Voorhees family.
Yeah. It comes from Bristol, Tennessee. A man who police say was run over with a lawnmower while trying to kill his son with a chainsaw has had to have his leg amputated.
Oh, poor guy.
Poor gentleman. Oh. Uh-uh. Seriously, though?
He's tough on discipline, you know? It's going to make the kid stronger.
Yeah, he probably got what was coming to him, though. The Bristol Herald Courier reports that a warrant for 76-year-old Douglas Ferguson couldn't be served until Tuesday because of his severity of his injuries.
76?
He's a 76-year-old man.
How old was the son?
Probably well into his 40s or 50s.
Oh, wow.
According to a Sullivan County Sheriff's Office release, officers called to a home June 28th found Ferguson bleeding from his leg and head. A preliminary investigation indicated that he had tried to attack his son with a running chainsaw while his son mowed the yard. Detectives say the father and the son had an ongoing feud. Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This must have been like a deep-seated feud, like... Chainsaw wielding dad at 76 years old is coming after his probably late 40s, early 50s son.
Probably just mad at the way that the guy was mowing the lawn. I want diagonal lines. Yeah. Diagonal.
You're leaving too many mohawks, as my father used to say.
Too many mohawks. Yeah. Rake first. Don't run over the sticks.
Jesus fucking Christ. Ferguson is charged with attempting second-degree murder and violating probation.
Of course.
This guy was already on probation.
How's that second-degree murder?
Oh, good Lord. It's unclear whether he has a lawyer to comment on his behalf. That's the end of that story from the Associated Press.
Did Husqvarna weigh in on this at all?
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what kind of chainsaw, but that's probably just in the court records.
Well, better not be a poolin'. Mine sucks. Take that poolin'. Make a better saw.
Sons of bitches.
All right, well, I got one. This is from the Huffington Post.
Huff Post.
So, Satan has been ruled out as experts puzzle over mysterious flaming pit in Arkansas.
Flaming pit. Oh, God. Of course, the devil's got to be he's got to be at least one of the sources of this. I mean...
Probably the first culprit.
That's probably exactly where they go.
Well, they ruled it out. I mean, as above, so below, but they did rule it out. So I think we're okay.
Thank God.
Thanks, sweet 8-ounce baby Jesus. Experts are trying to determine the cause of the flames of up to 12 feet high simultaneously erupting from a pit in Midway, Arkansas last month. So far, they've come up empty, but they know what didn't cause it.
The devil.
Quote, as far as spiritual Satan goes, we've ruled that out. And that is from the County Judge Mickey Pendergrass, talking to the local newspaper, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Quote, he didn't come up and stick his pitchfork in the ground and blow that hole out.
Which, that would definitely blow that hole out.
It sure would. Oh, good Sounds Lord. Like a line from a satanic porno I once saw.
Oh, God.
So the fire burned for about 40 minutes on September 17th from a hole believed to have been made by animals, according to the newspaper. We watched a video of reporters seriously reporting the story, and they talked about it was possible space junk, I think was their words.
Every time I hear that term space junk, all I think of is like alien nuts.
Yeah, no kidding. Div. See that alien talking about his balls? Quote, I took a temperature reading of it, and it showed 780 degrees inside the hole. That was Fire Chief Donald Tucker. But what caused it? I have no idea. There's no gas lines nearby, and there was no smell of natural gas. And evidently there was no burning sulfur or pools of blood or anything.
Screams
from below.
Not like that hole, that longest hole. I think in Russia is like the longest bored out hole in the world.
Oh, the deep hole that they bored, and you just drop a microphone in there and it sounds like screaming.
Yeah, that's what happens when molten lava moves against physical. It creates sounds like that.
Oh, what's the other one they have out there? It's called like the Devil's Gate or something like that. Yeah. And what it was like they were mining natural gas and some idiot like blew it up and it's just been burning for like years. And it's just this giant pit of burning natural gas.
Yeah, it'll never stop either until the source either burns out or they figure a way to tap it. Tap that ass.
Tap that gas?
Yeah, tap that gas.
It was right there, Dave. You missed it.
Totally fucking missed it. Oh, well, that's a funny story. I love it that it's possible space junk that bored that hole out.
Possible space junk, but no Satan. I do like that they had to rule out Satan first. Like, hey, you know what didn't cause this? Satan. Ronald McDonald didn't cause it. Satan didn't cause it.
Oh, God. I've got one more news story here, John, and it's a great follow-up to that. It's from the Christian Post. Now, did
they rule out Satan in this story, too?
No, but here's what the headline is. It says, witches outnumber Presbyterians in the U.S. Wicca paganism growing astronomically.
Astrologically.
Technically, but it says astronomically.
That's so funny.
Yeah, this is from October 10th, 2018. Christian Post. It says, the population of self-identified witches. What up, witches?
What's up, my witches?
My witches. The population of self-identified witches has risen dramatically in the United States in recent decades. An interest in astrology and witchcraft practices have become increasingly mainstream. Why not?
Mm.
The old ways, belief is belief. It's a powerful thing. Either way, it doesn't matter what you believe in, just as long as you believe in it.
Yeah,
thoughts. Good or bad.
Thoughts become things. That's true.
Absolutely. While data is sparse, Quartz noted the practice of witchcraft has grown significantly in recent decades. Those who identify as witches have risen concurrently with the rise of the witch aesthetic.
Aesthetic.
Witch aesthetic. Yeah. Is it like all the girls who grew up watching Hocus Pocus?
Oh, yeah, or like all the goth girls that have a pentagram tattoo. The craft. Yeah. Oh, that was
like all those movies. Now this generation is now becoming older. And
Harry Potter. I mean, indoctrinated on the satanic books of Harry Potter.
Yeah, those horribly written. No, J.K. Rowling, the devil.
She's the very devil herself. She wanted to do is write a story to shut her kid up for 5 minutes.
She's got to be the head of some kind of coven out there. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That heathen woman, the beautiful, beautiful author. Created some great, great modern fantasy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Demonized. Poor her. This is from 2000, from 1990 to 2008, Trinity College in Connecticut ran three large detailed religion surveys. Those have shown that Wicca grew tremendously over that period from an estimated 8,000 Wiccans in 1990. They found that there were 340 practitioners in 2008. They also estimated there were around 340,000 pagans in 2008 as well.
So this is this giant study was 700 people in Connecticut. That okay. So 700 people in Connecticut, 300 of them are Presbyterians, 350 are witches. That's roughly the
right. It also goes on to says Pew Research Center studied the issue in 2014, discovering that 0.4% of Americans, approximately 1 to 1.5 million people, identified as Wicca or pagan, meaning their communities continue to experience significant growth. So, I mean, yeah, witches are on the rise. What did you expect when you took all the rights away and gave them nothing? No, you know, they had no other choice but to become a witch.
That's true. I mean, you get back into a corner, the only way out is witchcraft.
That's what I gather from there.
Mm. Yeah, this is our cup has runneth over with stupid news this week. There's so much of it out there.
Yeah, so we just gathered a couple of the ridiculousnesses that we often bring you.
Those are the cream. They rose to the top. It was delightful.
Yeah. So what I've got going on here, again, we're gonna continue on with a little bit of our horror news, what's going on, events that are up and coming and things that you might want to check out in the horror world. I've got a couple things where Netflix just released this past Friday two things that you might want to check out. One of them is a movie called The Apostle. The other one is a show called House on Haunted Hill.
Oh yeah, I want to
watch
that.
They made a series out of that. If you just heard the scream in the background, that was my child having fun.
No, that was your haunted house.
My haunted house.
Play this up. It's October.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that was my haunted house. Listen back for that shriek.
Shocktober.
Shocktober. But those are two things that you should be on the lookout for. And just recently, I mean, we grew up with the original movie, Stephen King's Pet Cemetery, spelt with an S.
Oh, yeah.
It was spelt because of like a child spelt it at one point.
Hmm.
That's, I guess, where its origin comes from.
No, but, shit, it was spelt with an S. I didn't even realize.
Yeah. And the new modern take on Pet Cemetery is coming out in 2019.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. The trailer, it's a lot more darker and less campy than the original one. And it looks really, really good, but they just dropped the first trailer on that. So you should definitely go out and check that out.
Nice. Your son's walking in with a...
You mean the demon that runs around the house?
Yeah.
With a... Who are you right there, bud? Foxy.
He just shakes his head.
Falls if you've never seen the video game, was it Five Nights at Freddy's? He's one of the characters, Foxy, and he's now terrorizing both Herman and I.
Five Nights at Freddy's sounds like
it's a fucked up story, dude. It really is. It's like it's an old Chuck E. Cheese place that's like run down, but like these children have been murdered in this place, and they don't know what it is, and it's like
Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. They're animatronics. That's right, buddy. And it's a wicked fucked up story, dude. It's about like these people who go in to investigate this place. These childhood murders. People are missing. And it's basically like a jump scare game. Or at least the original one. And the story's progressed. But like, it's crazy. It's
pretty dark.
Yeah. For all you parents out there, if your kids are, you know, into Five Nights at Freddy's, that's what it's really about.
Stop throwing things at me.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to the Diving Darker.
Darker three. Diving and the dark side.
We're going to move into the Diving Deeper into the Darker Side segment today. Keeping on kind of like a weird theme that we've already like talked about.
Yeah, the Halloween theme.
Witches and brews and stuff, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, without beer, you couldn't have witches.
Right, and we're giving you a little special... Perfect twist with John's knowledge of brewing and, you know, the month of October being the witching month. Ooh.
Ooh. The witching hour of 227.
Yes. So we're going to bring it to you. Let's go, John. Well, Herman, what do you got?
All right, sir. So, witches. Today we're going to talk about witches. Basically, how did we get this image? I say witch and you get this image in your head, right? Think like Snow White. Think the Walmart mask.
The old crony.
Yeah, the old
crow.
The old crone, like green face, all that stuff. But how did we actually get there? Like, if you've met witches, they're just normal people that like dance around the maypole and have a lot of sex. But if you really look at it, like, how did we get this weird image? So let's dive deeper, but let's dive a little historic today. I'm pretty excited about this one. So we're actually going to start with beer, which Dave and I have started with beer already. I'm enjoying a nice Founders. Yeah. Cheers. Here's to your good health.
Look how I am. Let's throw you.
Delicious. So a brief primer on beer, since basically I'm assuming everybody that's listening knows what it is. It has been brewed since ancient Sumerian times. And there was a goddess that her job was to, you know, look over the beer. And her name was Ninkasi. She was born of, quote, sparkling fresh water and was made to satisfy the desire and sate the heart.
I like sate in the heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite things about beer.
Yeah, beer really does have have the ability to sate the old heart. So Ninkasi, actually, the goddess herself, made beer every single day. And there's this cool statue of her half-naked, balancing a vessel above her head with both hands, which probably is containing some sort of delicious Sumerian beer. The hymn to Ninkasi, which is actually how you pray to her, is the oldest known recipe for beer. So to give praise to her, you're going to make beer, drink it, and so on and so forth.
I love the theme that's coming here is that beer has always been associated with the woman. It's very interesting.
Yeah, very much so.
From the very, very... But then it kind of lost its way. Yeah.
Look, Mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky. So yeah, the key takeaways, I guess, Dave... One, I need a Ninkasi tattoo.
Of course.
Two, women made beer in the ancient world, as you very well pointed out. Beer has always been an important beverage and is thought to have had magical properties.
From the very onset, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell. I mean, in modern days with all of our science and knowledge, I mean, it does have magic properties. It makes all of life's worries go away for about 4 hours.
Yeah, oh, certainly.
And could very well cause all of life's worries. I'm very magical.
It is the cause indeed. Of and solution to all of life's problems,
as,
right?
As Homer once said, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the beautiful parts about beer is back in the Middle Ages, even Sumerian times, you would throw your refuse in the river and let it go downstream, and then you'd pull that water and you'd drink it, or you'd make beer with it. But the beauty part of beer is the beer is safe and the water will kill you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The process of making beer, you strain hot water through grain, and then you boil that hot water, grain, sugar for a very long time, usually an hour or so. And boiling anything for an hour is going to kill absolutely everything in it. So beer has always been safe.
It was the beer of choice when they came to the new American lands.
Yeah,
the water was poisonous.
The water was poisonous, but the beer was great. What's interesting to note about that is the Mayflower, if you read their records, only landed because they ran out of beer.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're out of beer. And then they burnt the ship to fire kettles to make beer.
To make beer.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's look at Britain in the Halcyon days in the 1300s.
Ooh, the glory days.
Yeah, the glory days. Right around a little bit before the Black Plague. Women made beer. It was considered at the time a household chore, and if you made enough of it, you could obviously sell the stuff. So women, called brewsters, sold beer like crazy. I guess there's always kind of been a market.
Oh, so that's obviously where the name came from then, Brewster.
Yeah, yeah, like Punky Brewster. Anyway.
That'd be a cool like pub name. The Punky Brewster.
I'm sure you get shut down. Like ABC would be like, sorry. There was a crappy show in the 1980s.
It was a glorious show, John.
I disagree. Anyway, so this is a quote from Judith Bennett, author of the book Ale, Beer, and Brewsters in England, Women's Work in a Changing World, which is a book I have not read, but I definitely stole the quote from somewhere out in the internet. Thanks, internet. In Brigstock before the plague, more than 300 women, about one-third of the women who lived on the manor, brewed ale for sale. In an unpronounceable town, which is now Staffordshire, during the 1330s and 1340s, between 52 and 76 brewers sold ale each year in a village with about 120 households.
Wow.
So that's more than half of the people in the house, in the town.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? In Wakefield, which is Yorkshire now, between 1348 and 1350, 185 women, accounting for almost one-third of all women, brewed ale for sale. So that is how prevalent this was. This was a task like cooking or cleaning or whatever. It is just a household chore. You got
to
make beer.
Was it like one of the most safest ways to actually get water?
Absolutely.
So the water at this time was also very toxic in this area, these areas of Britain.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, there are farms on it. There's people...
refuse.
Didn't have sewers. So right. Where are you going to dump that stuff?
Oh, crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And then, so these women were literally, like, most of their days, every day, was creating more ale.
Yeah. Cooking, making beer, like all that stuff. And it's beautiful. They were looked at as healers.
Well, I mean, of course. You've made the one thing that you need to live... that's dirty as fuck, clean again. And it took away some of your woes.
Yeah.
You know how hard it was.
That's true. And you don't have to make beer. You know, Budweiser's 4% alcohol, or 4.2, 5, I lied to you. Coors Light's 4.2. Like, these are lighter beers, but you can make beer with just about any amount of alcohol in it. Even 2%, 1%. When you get really low, it's not going to get you drunk all day. It's just something to drink.
Keep you hydrated, mostly.
Absolutely. So, you know, all this beer talk's delicious, but what about witches? What up, witches? So, these brewsters, which were often referred to as alewives or ale witches, you know, bam, there you go.
Yeah.
Brewed beer all the time, and one of the things that's interesting was they didn't really use hops in the early days of brewing. Hops are a fairly new discovery. So to bitter the beer, they would use a substance called gruit, or gruit, depending on how you want to pronounce it, which is usually just a mixture of herbs that they would throw in the beer to add a little bitterness to kind of balance the sweetness. If you've ever had Colt 45, that's basically beer without hops.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in like, there are tons of bitter herbs out there.
Yeah, dandelion root, yarrow is a big one.
Yeah, and obviously if they didn't have access or didn't even know about the hop, the king of bitter, they were using different things because, like you were talking about earlier, it's alcohol sweet. Kind of want to change that, get a little bitter and balance it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just not this sweet grossness that you drink all day long.
Yeah, and other than that, I mean, they would put in different herbs for different reasons. Yarrow will help settle your stomach, you know, things like that. So they were looked at as healers because they're using different herbs and ingredients in the beer, different adjuncts to promote health.
Right, and what they didn't know and what we know about science-wise are some of these herbs have different substances called flavonoids, terpenes, and these terpenes and flavonoids now we're discovering are adding to beneficial parts of the body. And
yeah.
You can find it in these bitters and in the hops and then even in other industries like cannabis and stuff like that. Like, They were healers at this time, what they were doing. They
yeah.
didn't know what caused it, but they knew that this bitter herb did this to the stomach, and good, let's add it to the water.
Yeah, this beer cured the headache that the other beer caused.
Yeah, basically.
So let's connect the dots, right? So we have our image of a witch. You got the pointy hat. You've got the broomstick. They're supposed to be ugly and you know, have a cat and make potions and cauldrons, right? So we'll start with the pointy hat. These alewives wore a small brimmed pointy hat that was roughly 2 feet tall out in public, and this was presumably to attract attention. It would kind of allow people to know that, hey, I make beer and I have some for sale. So when they were out and about, they would do that. If you're having a party, you see the lady with the pointy hat.
Right.
You know, marketing.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's iconic because we're still talking about it today, right? So then we get to the broom. So when these women were not hitting up taverns and walking around getting attention.
Did you make them sound so dirty?
They're just trying to sell their wares, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh, these women hitting up the booze holes and
yeah. Hey, look at me, I got beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they weren't trying to get attention, saying for people to buy their beer, they had to make the stuff, right?
Right.
So they would be at home making beer. Brewing requires a little bit of attention. And there's a bit of work. It's a lot like cooking where you know, it all happens in fits and starts, right? So when our ale witch was home, to let people know that she had beer for sale, they would drive a tall broomstick-like ale stake into the ground outside their door. So basically, looks like a broom, but it's a stake that would be very tall and would have sometimes flowers on the top of it. Sometimes, you know, it would look like a giant broom.
Right.
But that would let people know, like, hey, I can knock on this door, grab some beer, go home and drink it. And in Peru, even now, a stick adorned with a red bouquet or a bag is placed outside the doorway to indicate that the ale is ready for consumption.
Oh, wow.
Another symbol that I read about outside the door was a talisman resembling the Star of David, and the star was used to convey the purity of the beer.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we got broomsticks and we have, you know, we're bringing in written symbolism. So now we got our cauldron, right? For beer, currently it's made with water, malt, hops, and yeast. And basically you boil all that stuff for a very long time. And when you're making beer, that requires a lot of water. You're going to boil off, right? So you need a big container to make beer. To make 5 gallons of beer, you need a 10-gallon container. So if you want to make a hogshead of beer, you need a hogshead and a half container.
Right.
Whatever that measurement means, I really have no idea.
You know, I don't know, 5 gallons.
But, it's more than that. So they would stand over this big steamy cauldron, stirring it to create the hot wort, which you then ferment out with yeast to turn into a beer. So that's you've got your cauldrons, you've got your broom, and you've got your pointy hat. Let's bring the cats into it. This is pretty simple. Malted barley is delicious, and it attracts a lot of vermin, bugs and mice and all that kind of stuff. So cats, kind of like the medieval Orkin man.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that you would want a cat around.
Yeah.
It's like you want a cat around.
Yeah.
You said it last episode, you want a cat to kill things.
Yeah, they're employees.
Vermin. I feed them wonderfully, and they do a job for me.
I give them a warm place to sleep, and they kill things.
Right.
And if you look at the stereotypical witch's garb, we've got a cat, pointy hat, broom, bubbling cauldron. Those are all pieces of equipment that were essential to the brewsters that they would have used in their trade. And this is from Shirley McLean, who's a curator of the Waterloo Region Museum, which I have no idea where that is.
Somewhere in the Waterloo area.
Yeah, region. Sure. But that doesn't make her wrong. It was in Britain. So with all that money to be made, who's going to pay attention to that but the medieval Catholic Church? Time to take over the industry.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Quote, "It took the church a long time to persuade society that women were inclined toward evil, witchcraft, and devil worship." And this is from Helen Ellersby in her book, The Dark Side of Christian History. Quote, "Reversing its policy of denying the existence of witches in the 13th century, the church began depicting the witch as a slave of the devil. No longer was she to be associated with an older pagan tradition. No longer was the witch to be thought of as a benevolent healer, teacher, wise woman, or one who accessed divine power," end quote.
So basically it was the, like, religification or the gentrification of a culture, absorbing it and making it what they wanted it to be.
Yeah, so this is the witches get stitches part, yeah, I think is what you're trying to
basically,
say.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, and it was what the church did best at that time.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
100%.
You got to have an enemy, and if your enemy's making money, you got to steal their gig, and the best way to do it is make them devils.
Right.
Yeah. So the Inquisition would see a great many witches burned at the stake, and with them, their herbal healing knowledge was completely lost. Probably a shitload of banging beer recipes, and as that trade was taken over by the church as well. So there you have it. Witches were generally defined as people who made a pact with the devil in exchange for magical power to commit evil acts.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, so your broomstick and your cauldron are now the tool of the devil, when before they were just a delightful way to get drunk on a Saturday night.
Right. So now they're actually using these broomsticks as modes of transportation.
Yeah, and, sure, they're flying around.
And hexing devices and flying around cursing people.
Your six-pointed star is now not an indication of the purity of your creation, but the...
Now a symbol of pure evil.
Correct.
Right. You know, take their iconography and just twist it
to
the absolute worst they possibly could.
Absolutely. So now let's get into the ugly part. We're going to talk about a specific witch. Her name is Ursula Sothiel. They call her Mother Shipton. I like Ursula too, by the way. If you like, if you're into Disney witches, there was definitely an Ursula,
which she created the stereotype.
She might have been under the sea. I don't know.
Under the sea.
Okay, so Dateline, 1684. Mother Shipton was born in Knaresborough, Yorkshire, in a cave now known as Mother Shipton's Cave, and was reputed to be hideously ugly. The woman who delivered Ursula spoke of a smell of sulfur and a great crack of thunder as the child came into the world. The
What a wonderful way to come into the world, though.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just fire and brimstone.
Fire and brimstone. The baby was born misshapen and huge. Some thought her father was the devil. Her mother gave her up at the age of two and went to live in a convent for the rest of her life. All of the locals called her, quote, Hagface.
What a wonderful name.
And believed her father to be the devil.
1684, huh?
1684. So, Mother Shipton turned out to be feared and highly regarded as an English prophetess in the 16th century. She was said to have been England's greatest clairvoyant. She was often compared to her male contemporary, Nostradamus. According to legend, she had predicted the Spanish Armada, the Great Plague of London, the Great Fire of London, the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots, and some even speculate, the internet.
The internet. I mean, we all saw the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots.
I mean, we saw that coming.
We saw it coming 100 years earlier.
That was just woven in the tapestry of the time.
But the internet, come on.
Yeah, how do you see that? So I found in my travels a poem that Mother Shipton had written full of prophecy, and I'm going to read a portion of it because it's quite lengthy. All right, are we ready?
We're ready, John.
From Mother Shipton, quote, "And now a word in uncouth rhyme of what shall be in future time. Then upside down the world shall be, and gold found at the root of tree. All England's sons that plow the land shall oft be seen with book in hand. The poor shall now great wisdom know. Great houses stand in far-flung vale, all covered o'er with snow and hail." So, with book in hand and the poor shall know great wisdom, dude, cell phone. Nailed it.
Totally. 100%.
Next stanza. "A carriage without horse will go. Disaster fill the world with woe. In London, Primrose Hill shall be. In center, hold a bishop's see." I don't know about London, but I think she just nailed the car.
Yeah, the car there. The bishop's see could have been a, was it 1600s? Had they kicked the Catholic Church out of London at that point?
Oh, quite possibly. I don't know. We'd have to look that up.
Yeah, that could be a reference either way.
Hmm. And then we get to the next one. "Around the world men's thoughts will fly, quick as the twinkling of an eye, and water shall great wonders do. How strange, and yet it shall come true." Around the world men's thoughts will fly. The internet.
Quick as the twinkle of an eye. The internet.
The internet, yeah.
Yeah, could very well, I mean.
Yeah, you could use the internet to answer that question you have about the Bishop's See.
Yeah. Truth.
True shit. "Through towering hills proud men shall ride. No horses or ass move by his side.
Ass.
Beneath the water men shall walk, shall ride, shall sleep, shall even talk. And in the air men shall have been seen in white and black and even green. A great man then shall come and go, for prophecy declares it so." So green men in the air, aliens. This lady was in tune with everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, was it beneath the water men shall walk? I mean,
yeah,
for sure. I mean, we're doing that.
One ping only, please.
Yep. Was it beneath the water men shall walk, shall ride, shall sleep, shall even talk? I mean, we're doing that with submarines.
Yeah, absolutely.
And communications through underground. We connected continents.
Yeah, there's a phone line that goes from here to England. They laid that thing on the ground of the ocean.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy, right?
Yeah. "In water, iron then shall float as easy as a wooden boat. God shall be seen in stream and stone in land that is yet unknown." So she's talking about sailing metal boats across the world to bring God, Jesus, to the new land. So she just predicted America, by the way, just in case you didn't know that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
"And England shall admit a Jew. You think this strange, but it is true. The Jew that once was held in scorn shall of a Christian then be born."
Ho ho!
Yeah, so she's talking about the inclusion of religions in England. A house of glass shall come to pass in England, but alas, alas, a war will follow with the work where dwells the pagan and the Turk. Oh my God, she predicted Iraq.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Unbelievable.
So, was this witch burned at the stake, Dave?
Probably not. Was she?
No. No.
Good for her. No. I'm glad.
She died. She actually died a normal death and is said to have been buried on unholy ground on the outer edges of York around 1561.
Oh, some very unsettling ground there. Let's bury her there, mate.
Yep. Yeah, so crazy. And so basically because she was regarded to have been ugly. I mean, she was married, didn't bury any children because, you know, Satan. But because
she was called Hagface.
She was called Hagface. Hagface. So, I mean, that's where you get the witch from Snow White and the warty witch mask from Walmart.
So the stereotypical face of the witch, the beloved, horrid, hag-faced witch comes from this wonderful soothsayer.
Yeah.
She was probably a pleasant woman.
Like, who knows? I mean, she wrote a good poem. I mean, the poem's fun.
Was it a poem, John? Or was it a prophecy?
Yeah, why? Well, I guess. I mean, Nostradamus. So this lady nailed it. She nailed the internet and metal boats and a great war and aliens. I mean, that's all pretty cool.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's all beautiful imagery, and you know, we could take our at least modern times, and we could put a lot of things in these. But who knows? Maybe she was predicting things.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can walk on water under the water. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I like that the great man shall come and go, for prophecy declares it so. It doesn't even. That's everybody. That's Churchill right there.
Yeah.
She nailed it.
100%.
Anyway. So that's Mother Shipton. That's our ugly witch. So I wanted to, since this is the Darker Side podcast, right? I wanted to bring, you know, a witch burning into this because you expect it. You know, you got to play the hits.
Right. Yeah, all the greatest hits. That's what we bring you guys.
So the greatest hits. Here's the last witch that was burned legally in Great Britain. Legally.
Legally.
Legally, as part of the law. Like, she was sentenced to death and burned at the stake.
Excellent.
Her name was Janet Horne.
Well, you can't have a witch story without some witch burning.
I felt the same. I felt like we're not doing the service that we provide if we don't have somebody dying horribly.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So
absolutely.
So we have Janet Horne, last person burned in witchcraft for burned in Britain for witchcraft. This is 1727. So I think George Washington would have been a small child at the time.
Probably.
Right?
Absolutely.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. George Washington.
Maybe just about to be born.
George Washington's grandfather was at least alive.
Right, exactly.
So Janet had this daughter who suffered from a deformity in her hands and feet. Both of the feet. Both of the feet. Neighbors gossiped that she looked as though she had hooves, and Janet was accused of turning her daughter into a pony to transport her around the countryside to carry out her witchcraft.
So she had a familiar, but it was her daughter.
Her daughter, her pony.
She could turn into a pony.
Right, because she had weird feet.
Fucking stupid.
It's awesome.
I love these times, man. Well, they didn't really have much to think about. You either had everyday chores or you thought about the devil.
Yeah, exactly. So the daughter's deformity was the proof that the folks needed to prove that Janet was in fact a witch.
And how did they prove it, John?
Well, because she was turning her into a pony so that she could ride around and perform witchcraft. When she came home and turned her back into a person, she had deformed feet because witchcraft.
Right. But how fucked up were these feet?
Like, I don't know. I wish
fucked up.
I guess like hoof looking. I wish they had pictures. I was really curious about the feet.
It was probably some weird normalized deformity that is absolutely just a normal thing nowadays.
So because of the feet, they captured Janet and her daughter because they're both witches.
Right, witches.
Yeah, witches. And the daughter managed to escape, but they definitely tarred and feathered Janet and paraded her around the square and all that good stuff. And then they brought her to her execution place. So here's the scene. You've got a big fire. You got the pole that you're going to tie the lady to. And they set it on fire, and she did something interesting. She reached down and warmed her hands on the very fire that was about to consume her.
Huh.
You see, Janet probably had dementia.
Yeah, most likely. So you had this older woman, the mother, right?
Yep.
And so where's the daughter at this point?
Oh, she escaped.
How did she escape?
They don't really say. She just hightailed it out of there.
So the mother basically said, hey, get out of here.
Or she hoofed it out of there. She hoofed her way.
Oh, it's
so bad. It's so bad.
So we've got this scene where we're walking up probably the town square, maybe.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they like parade. Right, they paraded her around in a barrel.
And we've got this giant pyre with a pole, maybe in the middle.
Yeah, most likely
sticking up.
They tied him to a pole and set him on fire.
Setting the edges of it on fire, and she's bringing her up.
She's
to
warming her hands on the fire.
Fucking witch.
Yeah, smiling, laughing the whole time. Like, they really think she probably had dementia.
Well, I think this whole experience probably just made her fucking out of her mind crazy. From a psychological, analyst point of view, I'm sure. Fucking broke her.
Yeah, so 1727. 9 years later, it became unlawful to burn somebody as a witch in jolly old England.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad, because a lot of, like, innocent people, obviously, up to this point. And I think we're going to talk about it next episode, right?
Yeah.
About actual burnings through history and where all this stuff came from.
Oh, all the good stuff. Poor witches.
More witches.
More witches.
October.
Because Halloween. What's nice to know about Janet is there is a statue of her in Scotland, in Donna, I think it is.
Donna.
Of her as the last legally burnt witch in the UK.
Well, she got a memorial. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, I want to go see it.
Yeah, so obviously this wasn't the last time in history that people have been burned or killed or persecuted. To be witches in the world, and I think next episode we're gonna hit on a bunch historically what some of these witches have gone through time, and how they've been persecuted. We're gonna get a little bit, I think, maybe darker next episode when it comes to witches. But John, or Herman, I should say, gave us an unbelievable account of where we get our iconic view of the witch that we celebrate today during the month of October in our Halloween season.
Yeah, all they wanted to do is make beer, man.
And it started with fire. Beer. Yeah. It all started with beer. An appropriate thing, again. I mean, October, we're clinking beers, drinking, keeping warm in these cold, cold New England October days.
All right, so that's witchcraft. That's the iconic gnarly witch with her cat and her broom and good old Janet Horn, who... died crazy with warm hands.
Yeah, just for having a weird, deformed child.
Yeah.
Not even weird. I mean, just a poor, unfortunately deformed, physically deformed child with some sort of ailment that could easily be chalked off by science today, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's the witch pony disease. She definitely was a pony, and that's why you're a witch.
All right, guys, we're going to... that is our Diving Deeper segment for today. The wonderful, where we got our iconic witch imagery today. Next week, we're going to bring you some more chilling tales about witches. We'll keep it appropriate for October.
We'll keep it witchy.
Some hocus pocus and shit. But thank you guys for following us, and thank you for listening to us. This has been the Darkest Side podcast for today. I am David Pottle. You can find me on all of the social media shitholes, portals, etc. You can find my band Frenemy. We've got some shows coming up in November. You're gonna check them out. Check us out.
Tasty metal.
Yeah, some metal. We also got a 3-song EP coming out soon. So stay alert and tuned up for that. Herman, what do you got for us, buddy?
I'm on Instagram at Herman Brow. You'll probably see pictures of my cat and or my general witchcraft.
Yeah, your brewery.
Yeah, yeah.
You goddamn Brewster.
I used witchery to turn pure apple juice into the devil's booze.
Yeah, you also do it with water and grains and hops.
Delicious. All right, guys, thank you so much. This has been fun, and more Halloween themed shit's coming right up.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna do some movie reviews and stuff too. I think Halloween, the movie review, is coming up soon, guys.
Ooh, yeah, watch Halloween.
So stay with us. I think that'll be our last October drop. We love you guys. Welcome and come back to the